All right. I don't think our race-winning driver needs any introduction, especially here in the great state of Georgia. But we've officially been joined by our race winner today for the Quaker State 400 at Atlanta, presented by Walmart. And we are now joined by Chase Elliott, driver of the number 9 Napa Auto Parts Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports. Chase, before we go to questions, just your thoughts on winning at home, winning in Napa's backyard. Obviously a lot of memories for you coming here with your dad, and I'm sure a lot of that went through your mind as you celebrated with the fans just before you went into victory lane. But just give us your thoughts on kind of the last, 30 to 45 minutes here on this Sunday.
Yeah, just been a whirlwind. These are moments you wish you could bottle up and just, kind of keep. And unfortunately, it just doesn't work like that. But, moments that are really special and near and dear to your heart, like winning it at your home track, a place that I've spent, a ton of time at as a kid, racing on the quarter mile down here and Bandoleros and Legends, and a lot of trips between here and North Georgia, up and down the road, and just, kind of, when you're a kid and you're racing on the quarter mile over there, you look at this big track and it's like just, out of reach, like not even real. Just that your heroes are out there competing, once or twice a year on this big track. And like, that's just, not real. So to be here and to, have a day like we had is really incredible. And certainly one I'm going to embrace and enjoy a lot, obviously be ready to go to Loudon here in a few days. But these wins are just too hard to come by, and especially when they're as special as this one. I've witnessed guys win at their home tracks, and you can always tell it means a lot to them. But until you start competing somewhere at a sports high stage like this, I'm not sure you fully understand, the meaning of it and what it could mean to you. So to be able to have this moment is really special and one I'm very grateful for.
All right, we're going to go to questions now for Chase. If you have a question, raise your hand. I'm going to do my best to get to as many as I can. We're going to start up front with Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Seemed like a lot of respect between you and LaJoy, like you both kind of understood where the other was coming from. So I guess a couple of things. Did you anticipate that he was going to, really send it on the last lap and try to do something kind of dramatic? And then what was your, approach of thinking, okay, how do I defend against that, or what do I do here?
I mean, yeah, of course. I certainly expected that, and that's what you're supposed to do, right? We're going for the win. For me in my situation, I hate to throw a mega block like that. I had kind of shied away from that big block throughout the day. I'd always kind of given in, at different points to a guy when they had that big of a run. But, I mean, heck, we're running the last lap. Like, if you let him go, one of two things can happen. Okay, you choose the lane you want to lose in, and you hope that you have enough time to go and get him back. Or, you throw a big block and hope you can stay in front of him. Problem is, it can go one of two ways for you. You can crash there throwing the big block. Or you can try to be patient and wait, and then a crash happens behind you and you've given up the lead and caution comes out and now the race is over. I don't know how you know exactly what choice to make in that situation. I mean, a guy's coming with a massive run. Like, am I taking a chance of crashing when I, threw it up in front of him? Absolutely. But I just felt like I didn't think I was going to get another shot at him if I let him grab the lead right there in that situation. And I was able to defend the bottom side block, and I felt more comfortable defending more aggressively up to the top. I thought that was a situation that I could win on. So, fortunately, it worked out. But those situations are impossible. I mean, they might go right for you some, and they might not. And I don't really know how you know what's going to happen next to be able to make that choice.
All right, if I can get a microphone up front, and then we'll make our way there to the back and kind of just make a loop. Go ahead.
Hey, Chase, Raphael Haynes from the 3-Point Conversion. I saw you earlier before the race, and the way you were interacting with everybody, you looked very confident. And Jeff said the same thing just a few minutes ago. Was it being here in Atlanta, or what was it?
I really don't know. I mean, we hadn't had a chance to be in the car all weekend, so I really didn't know how we would stack up. But yeah, just excited to be, you know, close to home, and you know, excited for another opportunity here is always really cool. And we haven't, you know, up until today, we'd never really had a great run here. We'd been really solid, I think, once, like in 2017, and outside that, it's been pretty mediocre. So yeah, I was just excited for another opportunity, and felt like we were, you know, in a good place as a team and as a group to go out there and execute a good day, and fired off, and our car was really, really good, and yeah, things went our way, and was able to sweep the weekend.
Okay, go ahead.
Chase, congratulations. Blake Smith, WLME Owensboro. Talk about, you said in victory lane, you said this was the best car I've ever had at Super Speedway. What was different about this car? What did you feel, and what did it give you that you needed?
I really don't know what was different about it. Alan and I were joking. He's like, I don't know what we did to that thing, you know, but it was obviously really good. And, you know, whatever, you know, whatever fine tuning that went on throughout the week obviously was made the difference for us, you know. Yeah, it was just really solid. We've had a couple cars at Speedways that have been that good. I mean, I can remember having one or two like that at Daytona that I thought we had the superior car that day, and I think I crashed both of them. So, you know, that's typically what happens. So when we had that, when I realized our car was that good, I was like, oh boy, you know. And then especially when, you know, our first two stages go good. Typically when we have two good stages, we are wadded up in the fence for the last one. So, yeah, I was just kind of waiting on something bad to go wrong, but yeah, fortunately, it, you know, worked out for us today, and we were able to, you know, get it done.
And you're the second father-son duo to win at Atlanta, of course, Dale Earnhardt and Dale Jr. What does that mean to you to be in the record books along with your dad here at your home track?
Yeah, look, those type things are more than special. I mean, you know, I'm not sure that my dreams really grasped something like that when I was a kid and wanted to be here. I wanted to be here, and I wanted to make it, and I wanted to be successful. But I'm not sure I got far enough into it to start thinking about, you know, joining dad on lists, like, you know, sharing a championship and sharing wins at our home track. I mean, those type things are, yeah, they're something that me sitting here telling you it's special, I think is probably doing a disservice. It's something to be very proud of, and something I'm very proud of, and I think he is too.
All right, we're going to go to our left, and then I'm going to go to Doug next, and we'll keep coming around, so hang with me. Go ahead.
Hey, Chase, Jonathan Simmons from Real Talk Sports and WIGO 1570 right here in Clayton County. I know you talked about being surreal. It's actually kind of surreal for me because I work for a dealership where we actually have one of your dad's cars sitting in the showroom over at Allen Vigil. So,
nice.
This seems like been the whole theme has been this whole family affair. How important was it to have your family kind of be around you as you grew as a racer? And number two, at what point did you begin to think as a child, hey, how cool it would be for me to win here on this track, and could I do it?
Yeah, I mean, when you're racing out here on the quarter mile, obviously you want to make it. Like, you want to race on the big track. I mean, that was obviously the goal, and that's, I think, what's always in the back of your mind. You know, if you have a lot of stuff has to go your right, or go your way to get here and to have an opportunity. So, yeah, I think for me, you know, I felt like we were capable of winning here. You know, I think we've been capable here in the past, and, you know, one thing led to another and didn't go our way. But the way this place is now, I mean, it really is a speedway race, and I think everybody in this room has watched enough speedway races to know that can pretty much go anybody's direction. So we were just the fortunate ones to have it swing our way today.
Okay, Doug, go ahead.
Thank you, man. Doug Turnbull for WSB Radio and from PRN. I wanted to ask about, once you got back in traffic, the cars seemed like they really handled poorly. I mean, for a lot of people complained about it. How much, I mean, I know horsepower and aerodynamics are important, but how much was handling coming into play as far as you being able to make moves like the 3-wide one at the end or the couple of other times you retook the lead?
Yeah, I just felt like our car just had a good balance of pace and drivability, and then that's always something you want to marry together at these things. And it's always a bit of a guess, you know, like track conditions, how hot it is that day, you know, track position, where you are on track, how fresh the air is that's hitting your car. I mean, all those things are factored into it. and it's a bit of a guess. Nobody has a magic ball when they're putting these cars together to know, hey, it's going to be 85 degrees and sunny, you know, on Sunday afternoon. We're going to build our car this way, and we're going to be successful because of that. Like, it just doesn't work that way. So, you know, the way that our car was configured suited the conditions today, the temperature, the sun being on the track for the majority of the event, and had a nice balance from being out front and having enough pace to pull a line, but also being able to drive well enough back in traffic to make moves and open up opportunities and stay on offense.
All right, we're going to go over here to the left, and then we'll come to the middle here. Go ahead.
Yes, Alfred Romero, Southern Race Week Radio. Chase, we know that you're a Georgia boy through and through, Braves fan, UGA fan. Watching the race and seeing the crowd reaction every time you took a lead, and they were just up on their feet cheering on. Let me ask you, those last few laps when you're kind of under caution, you see the fans just in their, you know, I don't know if you even noticed them up on their feet cheering you. And then when you got the checkered flag and saw the reaction of the crowd, tell me about that, because I know you're a Georgia boy through and through, and all these people who are from the state of Georgia love you representing the state. So tell me about your thoughts on the reaction of the crowd when you got that checkered flag and came out of your car.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's, I'm, you know, as far as, I'm just proud to be from here, proud to still live here, and I'm grateful that the fans of this state have always kind of kept me a part of the family, really. And at the end of the day, I'm just a fan, too, as it pertains to Atlanta and Georgia. You know, I have always felt like they've kind of welcomed me as one of theirs and our team, too. So, you know, it's a special thing, and to be able to share that moment, you know, I saw a lot of people before the race, you know, wearing our hat and our shirts and stuff. And, you know, you always want to make those people proud, but when you have it go our way like it did today, that was pretty cool. So, you know, they're making a lot of noise there after the race, which it's kind of hard for me to see, you know, what's going on there during the race. But certainly after, they weren't shy, and I loved it.
All right, we're going to take final two questions. We're going to go over here to the – yep, go ahead. You're fine where you were. Yep, and then we'll end to the right. Go ahead.
All righty, Rio White with the Dawson County News. One of the great advantages, I think, of the Atlanta race is that the pool room gets its fair bit of coverage. And today I noticed that every time they cut back to the correspondent who was up in the pool room, and as the race got more dramatic and you were still up front, they got more and more excited as intense as the race went along. What does it mean to you to have that strong of a devoted fan base, not only in Dawsonville with its rich history, but just the breadth of the fan base itself?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, look, the tradition there at the pool room and the siren and all that stuff, I think is really cool. And you know, anytime you can carry on a tradition that your father had going on and from his hometown, and for them to still do that for me, I think is really neat. So I didn't realize they were taking a crew up there, you know, until earlier today. So that's pretty cool. I mean, obviously, great timing. I don't know who decided that, but that worked out good. And you know, they're you know, the Perkle family are just good people, you know, and huge race fans, and you know, genuinely enjoy seeing us have success on the weekends wherever we go, ultimately. And you know, happy to share a hometown with them, and happy that they have always included me and the excitement of you know, what they enjoy.
All right, we're going to take one final question.
Dom Joseph, Griffin Daily News. Chase, just again, just talk about the over here.
Oh, there you go.
Howdy. Talk about that emotion. I mean, no matter where you go when you win, you're going to have the biggest crowd. But this was the home crowd. When you got out, was there any different emotion getting out of that car and embracing the home fans?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just, you know, I mean, I felt like there before the race, there was definitely a larger quantity of the right hats and T-shirts than there typically are. You know, and I just think that's so cool. You know, like, I know that our sport's a little different. It's not like we have home games and away games, right? You know, there's 35 guys to pick from, and if you choose us, great. And if you don't, like, that's fine with me too. Just make some kind of noise. It just means you care. So, you know, but to see that many people up there and cheering and, you know, wearing the nine hats and seeing the Napa gear, like, you know, you want to make those people proud. And, you know, for me, I just, like I alluded to a second ago, I'm just grateful that The fans of this state have included me in part of the family of Georgia sports, and kind of accepted our team as that, and I'm proud of that, and glad we could do them good today.
All right, Chase, we appreciate you spending some time with us. Congratulations
appreciate again it. On
that win, and I'm sure you sold a T-shirt or two this weekend as well. So we wish you the best of luck next weekend in New Hampshire as well.
Cool. Thank you, guys.